Just a quick reminder that this weekend is the premiere episode of Core, starring myself, Bo Schwartz, John Jagger, all talking about Heroes of the Storm, Blizzard's very popular brawler/MOBA. That's right. Get subscribed, get it for free, get everything you need right now at heroesforyou.com. That's Core, coming this weekend to the Frog Pants Network. And thanks.
The Pope is the leopard.
Coming up on TMS, strange questions get strange answers.
The selfie economy.
Beard trends.
Time space is hard.
Why 7 still freaks people out.
Recommendals.
Tom's tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
A new life begins. What could be more fragile? That's why hundreds of hospitals use Baby Magic Lotion. Its special emollients soften skin and help protect against wetness, chafing, and irritation. All problems for someone just facing the world. And because a mother's skin also needs protection, Baby Magic's perfect for adults, too. Protect the way so many hospitals do with Baby Magic Baby Lotion.
You like fish?
I don't like fish. I love fish.
Oh.
The Morning Stream. The
Morning Stream. Strong enough for a man, but made for Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. The vernal, is it the vernal equinox? What's it called?
It's the autumnal equinox.
Autumnal? Oh, because autumn.
Yes.
What's the hint? What's the vernal one? What's the vernal? Is there
spring?
A vernal?
Yeah, oh. Spring.
Well, how come it's not called the springer?
Spring? Yeah, the springquinox?
Springquinox.
I feel like there's just none of portmanteaus in my day.
Yeah, there's not. So, that means today is officially fall, and today will be 90 degrees where I live, which is so weird, because last week it felt like fall. It was like 68, you know, some of the days, and suddenly here we are in this really hot weather. I don't get it. And you're going to be going to Vegas, the hottest land of all.
Yeah, it's just blows my mind that it's the end of September, beginning of October, and it's supposed to be 102 degrees
yeah.
2 of the 3 days we're there.
Yeah, weird. It's almost as if the climate's changing. It's weird, you know?
Yeah.
Late summers, weird winters. I don't know.
I don't know about this global warming, but it sure does. It seems like Vegas warming.
Let me tell you what. Jesus don't believe in no global warming.
That's what somebody told me the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I don't actually get into the argument about what causes it. It's entirely scientifically possible that we are contributing to it, but I also think the Earth has cycles, and they're big, long cycles, and
we've had
these cycles before, so I don't know why there's such a conflict. It doesn't have to be a religion, guys. You can have a conversation about change in the climate and not just bury your head in the sand and act like it's some kind of thing you got to take a side on. There's some truth to it.
It's been scientifically proven that, yes, our climate is changing, but are we affecting it? Probably not. I mean, maybe slightly, but probably not as much as we're being led to believe. Mm-hmm. And can we change it further? No, but it sure wouldn't hurt if we, you know, like mind our emissions and carpool every once in a while and ride a freaking bike.
The sense coming out of Brian's mouth this morning. I just want to wholeheartedly agree. I want to tie my wagon to your star right now. And I want to say this for the record. Forget about both sides of the extreme arguments that every time I throw a piece of plastic in the garbage that I am killing something. Okay, there's one extreme. And then the other extreme that there's no such thing as any of this and that it's some made up conspiracy by a bunch of hippies. Those people are wrong too. Here's what I know is true. We should, regardless of how this is happening, whether it's a natural cycle, how much we contribute to it, all of that stuff aside, let's not be dicks and maybe take care of stuff. Maybe we could improve the way we do things. Maybe that wouldn't be so bad. Maybe me walking around China breathing in death air isn't a great idea. Maybe there's a better way. That's all.
Right.
Maybe we could take care of things. All right.
Speaking of those hippies, by the way, let me just say, so every day when I have lunch, I go upstairs, I take a break from work, go upstairs, grab some leftovers out of the fridge, whatever, turn on the TV, and it's usually on the noon news. The middle of the day news, because we watch the news in the morning, we turn off the TV, so it's going to be on, usually on whatever we left it off.
Sure.
And And then I switched over and I start watching something from Netflix or something we've got on the DVR, whatever.
Right.
But on the news yesterday, I turned it on and the greater, so it was like a live or not live, but like a recorded, what do you call it? When the cameraman and one of the reporters goes out on location, recorded on location shoot where they were visiting the announcement that the greater brown grouse has been taken off the endangered species list.
Okay.
This is an announcement. This is like a news conference.
Yeah.
To say that this bird has been taken off of the
wow
endangered species list.
Yeah.
And there were, I swear to God, like 60 hippies in the audience, all applauding, you know, like taking their Clif Bars out of their fanny packs and munching on them during the conference. And I'm thinking to myself, who has time for this? Like, who basically outlines their day and says, hey, what do you got going on today? Well, I'm going to go attend the announcement that the greater brown grouse has been taken off of the endangered species list. What are you doing today?
Look,
oh, that sounds good. I have to take my Subaru into the shop to get work done.
Right, right. I am exactly with you. Subaru, dude, nice. These stereotypes are awesome. I freaking love it. But I'm all for the idea that, oh, we can take one of these off. And good job, everybody. We quit poaching a thing or shooting it too much or, you know, putting it in the wrong environment or whatever. We figured out that bringing the snakes over on a boat was a bad idea and it just about wiped out whatever. So we fixed that. That is a cool thing. Celebrate it, man.
Sure.
But what are y'all doing all day? Are y'all just sitting around going, well, shit, I got nothing to do?
Could they have live streamed this? Or could just basically, hey, how about a post on the World Wildlife Federation page or something like that, just saying, hey, good news, everybody.
Yeah. But why not just
hold a press conference?
Exactly. Make it some clickbait on some BuzzFeed article. Have it just say, you'll never believe what species is off the endangered species. And done. Done. Right.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's pretty funny.
Anyway.
Chat room's like trying to correct me, going, Arjuner's cracking me up. But he said, it's not, the argument is not about whether the climate's changing, it's whether or not people are causing it. Well, it depends on who you ask, dude. That's the problem with the whole thing. It's so subjective. Like, ask anybody anything. My simple thing is a thing I learned in Boy Scouts. Leave stuff better than you found it.
Right.
If you're going to come and take a shit in the forest, bury that thing nice and deep. Don't put a bunch of non-biodegradable paper in there with your poo. There's one example.
So, you know, let's say that science comes out and says, oh, well, you know, we've actually, our data finally came back in, and we can fully and 100% announce that we have no effect on the climate change. All of a sudden, are people going to start throwing styrofoam in their fireplaces and burning it? Is that the deal?
Exactly.
What does it matter if we're causing it or not? Just, you know, be aware of the environment and, you know, don't burn styrofoam in your fireplace.
Yeah, think of the place you live. Okay, in your house, would you just be like chucking crap? Well, maybe some people do, but I've seen hoarders. I know what's up on TV. But, you know, like, just take care of what we got. It's fine. It's a good thing. That's a noble thing, and it's a simple thing. There is no weird argument about it. Nah, we should be able to piss on everything. No, no one says that, and if they do, then they're idiots. All right, exactly. Just take care of what you got. That's it.
Exactly.
All right.
It's a fact that our landfills are filling up. That's just a fact. I mean, yeah,
that is a true fact. They're filling up. Make more golf courses on top of those.
give Harrison Ford new places to land. Isn't that what people complain?
That's what people do, right? They cover them up with cemeteries or golf courses or football fields or something. I don't know how it works.
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, sure.
You just don't want to be. you want to make sure it's buried low enough, though. Or else you're like, you know, I'm on the fourth hole, I've got my 9-iron out, and there's an old condom seeping its way to the surface. Like, you don't want that. Anyway, we fixed all the world's problems in five minutes.
Now it's time to entertain them.
I have a story to tell you, by the way.
Okay.
So all this talk about Volkswagen, everyone in the chat room is saying you got to talk about that. I don't even know what's going on with that. Is there something happening with Volkswagen? I must have missed the whole thing.
Yeah, there's some deal where they've been lying to us for a long time or something. I certainly don't have enough details to be able to speak with any sort of authority on that.
Well, let's see. It says scandal.
Diesel scandal is what's going on.
Scandal tarred Volkswagen tries to contain crisis. Volkswagen directors are meeting in a crisis session. World's biggest automaker tried to limit the damage of its emissions cheating scandal.
It's been rigging emissions tests.
Oh,
for its diesel line.
You're kidding. Which is huge in Europe, especially. So you're telling me a giant multinational company cheated? Is that what you're telling me? I'm shocked. I'm blown away by this.
Well, we're supposed to not have that, but yes, right.
Yeah,
yes,
we're trying to keep nice things, everyone. Come on. And all the other car makers are going, oh, shit. Well, now they're on the lookout. We better,
they've attached, apparently, according to David C., they've attached Hitler's brain to the engine. And
great.
Just drives around going, Mark Schnell.
Nine.
We need to, by the way, I mean, that's a reference right there. We need to see the movie They Saved Hitler's Brain.
I would do that in a half a heartbeat if we could get, how do we get our hands on that?
It's got to be.
It's not streaming, is it?
Maybe not streaming, but I think we've got to be able to find a YouTube or something.
Yeah. Or if some fan's got like 8 copies he doesn't need or something like that.
Let's see. I can get a used copy on Amazon for the 4 of us just instantly.
I like that. That's Amazon instant, except not. Still got to wait for it to ship. All right, I got a weird little tale to tell here.
Tell me your tale.
Parental tale here. Last night, I am hanging out at the house here, trying to get some stuff done, running around back and forth, up and downstairs. And Nick and his good friend, Drew, they call him. Mm-hmm. He was over at the house, and they were hanging out, talking, and as usual, it's usually about video games or this or that, and I can always hear him chat. And he's a good kid, and they're good friends, and it's nice. I like that he's around. He's a good kid. So they're hanging around upstairs, and I come upstairs, and Nick goes, Dad! I go, yeah, and he goes, come here, and I go, okay, just a second, I got a whatever. I gave Kim something. I came in the other room, and they're both there. I go, what's up? And they both looking a little bit nervous, and I said, what's the matter? Excuse me. And this Drew kid goes, we have a question for you that maybe you'll know. And I said, okay, lay it on me. And they go, why is Kim Kardashian famous? And they...
Wow. I dread the days of having to have this kind of conversation with my son.
This old chestnut. So you know,
it's things called video cameras, night vision, and
generations of parents have had to ask, have this hard question asked at some point or another. So they asked this and just looked at me innocently, waiting for an answer, because in their mind, what they're trying to understand is, why does this person who has all these millions of app sales and this huge show following and all this stuff, why is she
Once
anything?
Once upon a time, there was a rapper named Ray J.
So I said...
And Ray J had some wild oats to sow.
Now, you're going down... See, that's all my head would say. My head was just going, Scott, you know why she's
famous. Right, exactly.
You know exactly why she's famous, but what are you going to do here? You're faced with one of these challenges. And I've always thought of myself in these situations in the past... that I've been pretty good at what decision I make about what I'm going to say.
Sure.
I don't want to demonize the thing. If my daughter says I want to get a tattoo, I don't immediately say, not under my house rules, and then kick her out, because chances are she'll get one for sure that way. What I should do is be honest with her and talk about what it means. You know, like I want to be a parent in this moment, and now I've got a neighbor kid there, and it's about this stupid celebrity thing. So all these things are crashing in on me at once, and I'm thinking, what do I say? Do I say, well, O.J. Simpson had a friend, and his name was Robert Kardashian, and he was kind of his lawyer friend. Uh-huh. And when O.J. Simpson murdered 2 people and went on the run in a white Bronco, like, I could have gone all the way back then and said, and the Kardashians were famous because of him. And then, so his daughters, who were just kids then, but now they're older, and some aren't even born yet, and now they're famous because they have this rich, famous family lineage. But I could have done that, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I decided not to.
Good.
I decided... to tell the truth.
Wow.
And I said, all right, you guys, you ready for this? And they said, yeah. She is famous because she filmed a sex tape and put it on and it got leaked and ended up on the internet and got spread all over the place. That's primarily why she is famous. And then
is how she got famous.
Yes.
How she's remained famous is a question.
And they looked at me with a face of like, oh, like they had no idea. And they seemed a little bit shocked and said, put aside by it.
Make one of these sex tapes.
So I said, so that's it. And the one kid goes, Drew goes, well, that doesn't seem like a way to get famous. I said, well, some circles it is, and it kind of worked for her, and it works for other people. And Nick says, he goes, that's kind of like Paris Hilton, except she's only famous because of her dad. And I said, yeah, it's all because of her dad. Not because of her own night vision and her own cameras.
Right, exactly.
It's because of her rich Hilton heritage, right?
You know, it never really works out for the guy, does it?
Nope, never does.
Because I can't, was it Solomon, the guy that was with Paris Hilton in that video. It's like, it's harder to remember the dudes.
I can't even remember his name.
Right. I know. Yeah. He was married to Shannon Doherty for a while or something.
No, he was. Was he a faint? Was he an actor dude or something? Or like?
No, I don't think so. I think he was like a...
A barnacle?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. That's a great way to describe it. Yes.
Hanging on to whatever ship will have him. Anyway, so here's my, I just want everyone to understand my theory on this particular parental technique. Mm-hmm. If I would have said, A, gone the O.J. Simpson route, it would have just confused them.
Yeah, of course.
If I would have gone some other sanitized route,
right,
I would have left them with a mystery. And they would have
gone to the internet to find out more about.
Yeah, then they're starting, then they get that. It's like that thing where you say, like one time a brother-in-law, when all the kids were little, all the cousins of my daughters and stuff were tiny, and one of them said the word sex and giggled because that was a funny, you know, secret word or something. Right. And he yelled at him. He goes, "You will not," right? Yeah, got all mad. Right. And I went, "Oh, no, no, no." Because all that does is make them go, that plants a seed in their head that says,
"I'll have to go find out what that is.
That word is some kind of hardcore secret word that I must know more about now."
Yes.
And so I really am a big believer in this. I mean, Nick's 15. It's not like he's 4 and I had to try to explain a sex tape to a 4-year-old. But it was, I think, the right thing to do because you just lay it all out, man. Just like, I'm not like getting all detailed or anything weird like that. I haven't even actually seen it, so I couldn't get detailed. I don't know what happened in that video. I just know it exists. But I basically just, yeah, I said, yeah, her and this sort of semi kind of famous rapper and this happened. And now that, you know, and so one of them smart. And I can't remember if it was Nick or the other one, but he goes, "Well, when Kanye West announced he was going to run for president in 2020, that wouldn't really work, would it? Because she can't be the first lady and have that on her record." And I thought, you know, he's kind of right. I don't think that would fly. First lady Kim Kardashian, Brian, think of that.
Right. Yeah, no.
Not going to happen. Anyway.
No way. Anyway. By the way, we mentioned this on, it was a pre-show on FilmSack. You were going to play an audio clip I sent you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to cap it out. You want to play it right now? Yeah. I got the link.
Yeah, give me the link there.
I'll put it in Skype for you.
How's that? Is this the one with the dish?
Yes.
Okay, I may have actually already capped it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, because I loved it so much.
Because it seems like it fits right in with this discussion.
Dish. Hold on. I know I did.
If you don't, it's in Skype.
I'm sure I did. Because I made a point of it. Where is it? Oh, did I make it a full? I may have made it a full commercial. Well, whatever. It's in Skype. Oh, okay. We'll do it now.
Oh, never mind.
Let's do it in Skype. Here we go. I don't know what I did. I know I capped it, but I may have not. Okay, so backstory. This is Demi Lovato.
Right, doing an interview in Europe.
Europe, and she is asked a question, and this is her answer. Okay, so here you go.
And your favorite dish?
My favorite dish? I like mugs because they're very comfortable in your hand and they hold hot things that you don't have to touch.
Now, she has since said,
yes,
that it was...
That she knew the question and she decided to answer jokingly.
All right. I know the face of an irony jokester. That is not the face of that. That's not happening here.
No.
Now, if that were me, see, this is... Again, this goes back to what I'm talking about with the Nick thing today. I wish more people in the world would do this. I wish she would go, "Oh my gosh, you meant food, didn't you? I'm such an idiot." Right, do you know how much that would endear me to Demi Lovato?
Yes.
I would actually care about her music or maybe some of that stuff even more because, oh, she's human like the rest of us and jacks things up sometimes. That would have been great. But instead, totally. Tell me a story about how, you know.
Exactly.
It's like Clinton when he said, "I never inhaled." You liar. Just tell me you smoke pot, just like Jeb Bush did the other day. You know, I hate to say this. I don't hate to say it, but I will admit, I like hearing Jeb Bush admit he smoked pot 40 years ago.
Sure.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? Of course you did.
Honesty is refreshing, even if it's, you know, when you...
His is preemptive and a little political. I get it, but yes.
Sure. Yeah. But when you reveal something like that and you kind of leave yourself a little vulnerable, it makes you more human. And we all can say, oh, you're human like me. Cool. Yes.
And she's kind of, you know, and they're saying it in the chat. And I agree. She has a reputation for being kind of fun and goofy, and that's great. But don't... You just tell... If you meant, you know, your favorite dish, all these weird Europeans asking you questions, dude, I totally get it. I get it. I do it all the time. But you got to own it. Just own it and say, oh, freaking, I know what you meant.
What was the deal? What did Ashley, because something happened with Ashley Simpson years ago when she was musical guest on Saturday Night Live. She came out to do her song and they played the wrong lip sync clip for her.
Oh.
And she started to do the performance, and then she like started dancing like she was at a hoedown, and they cut to commercial. And then I think she came out later and said, oh yeah, we did that as a joke or something like that. But yeah. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't an admission of, yeah, you know, I guess I lip sync and we all do that. And
you should, it would just really like think about the tragedy of Millie Vanilli.
Right.
You could have fixed the whole thing by just going, all right, just you got us.
Exactly.
You got us. We actually can't sing.
We really shouldn't
sing.
Get nominated for this Grammy because we didn't perform anything.
Yeah, like it just diffuses all the shame and all the stuff. Just like, I mean, I'm not saying you should go, yeah, I murdered 8 women in Reno a couple of years ago. I should just come out and say I murdered people. I'm not saying that, okay? I know there's the limit. But if you just flub something up, just admit it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. All right. I mean, and if you did murder people, you should admit it. I'm not saying you shouldn't admit it. I mean, you should tell the truth. I'm saying we're not going to laugh it off on stage.
Right, yes.
All right. We're going to call Daryl now. Let's get his opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of people who just blame everybody else for their problems.
Right? Just that guy? Man.
Let's ask Daryl what his favorite dish is.
Yeah. Let's see what he says. Let's see here. Where are we now? Where's the thing? Here it is. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Ensign Williams is in trouble, and she needs your help. Go watch the newest episode of The Red Shirt Diaries at theredshirtdiaries.com to hear Major Spoiler's own Steven Schleicher bewilder and terrorize Ensign Williams with his voice. Mm-hmm. Only multiple viewings of the episode will chase the Talosian played by Steven away for good. Go to theredshirtdiaries.com today.
All right, this is not a pro-Obama stance, but there's a great Obama... quote when he was said, did you ever try marijuana? And then asked if he inhaled. He says, yes, I inhaled. That was the point. Is that a true quote, though? Someone in the chat room, I've heard it before. Someone in the chat room just posted again, but I'm wondering if I'm spreading like a Snopey thing.
Right.
We'd have to look that up. But I've heard that before, so that's why it rung a bell. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Daryl, are you there?
I am here.
What's your favorite dish?
The Pfalzgraf Star Trek plates from 1993.
Oh,
I have one of those hanging up in the living room that I have the check of.
Oh, that's awesome. That's super cool, yeah. Man. Did I ever tell you guys? Oh, I should share what's
I have the Sulu. I have the Sulu.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's all right. That's here, yeah. Oh my, you got the Sulu.
In case somebody comes over and says, hey, you said you had the check of.
They're going to hold you to it.
You actually connected me. I mean, 3 people in a Skype call. How did you do that?
Oh, well, didn't we do that yesterday?
Easy?
We did it yesterday, too.
Yeah, but I tried it last night for Grumpy Cast, and I spent a half hour trying to connect 3 people.
Really? It's super easy. Yeah. All you do is just
and
add
up
someone.
Being the whole episode.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll send you a poorly drawn diagram on a piece of lined college-ruled paper, and that'll describe how we do it.
Yeah, exactly. You've never seen that before. You don't know what's up with that.
I thought
joke.
You just click plus and that was it.
That's usually what you do. You click plus, you add their name. It should be right. If they're already in your friends list, yeah. Are you trying to call them on the phone?
No, Skype.
Were they already friended?
Just like you guys do, yeah.
No, mm-hmm. Should have been a piece of cake. Who knows? I don't know. Skype's been up and down the last couple of days. Who knows what's going on? I say user error, though. That's what I say. Daryl, let's get to the point. By the way, quick mash update. Here, we have mash update sound.
That's what she said.
So yesterday, you had made a comment that they changed the ending music to season 6 or 7. Which is it?
Yeah, 7.
7. And it's
they changed from 5 to 6, and then they changed again from 6 to 7.
And you're saying it went all sad and dour now.
In 6, it's all sad.
Like,
and in 7, it's more upbeat, and the bass is going, dum, 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 dum.
I love that every day we have a little update from a show that's like decades old now. It's
right.
Fantastic. All right. Oh, Obama did say it. There's a YouTube video.
There's a YouTube video.
All right,
yeah.
Let's play it.
Obama.
Look, I when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Okay, he did say it. All right. I really like that quote. Own it, dude. Own it.
Yeah.
You went swimming.
Yeah.
You went swimming, but did you get wet?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
freaking Clinton, dude. Why would you ever say it? He said some dumb stuff back then. I did not have sexual relations. And by that, I mean some dumb definition that doesn't actually freaking work. I don't know why he did that. Anyway, yeah. Daryl,
What are we doing? Star Trek question. I'm in a great mood today. Today is going to be one of those days, man. It's going to grab the day by the testicles and then pull them till they
oh,
hurt.
I just feel sorry for the day.
Just yank them.
Yank and twist.
Yank and twist till they hurt, till they just want to fall off. All right. Nice. In the Next Generation episode Tapestry, several crew members are attacked outside of a conference room. Picard is badly injured during this and dies. Holy crap.
Mm.
Q gives him a second chance to fix his past mistakes. What alien species attacked the crew in this episode leading to Picard's death? Was it A, the Sheliaks? That's really good for stomach heartburn, is my understanding.
The Sheliak?
The Sheliak, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you have Sheliak's disease, you want to go pick up a bottle
that's
of Sheliak.
That's right, yes.
B, the,
what are the side effects?
The Lenarians. They all come from Cleveland. C, the Endogians. Or D, the Arcadians, which come from the 80s. The Sheliaks, the Lenarians, the Endogians, or the Arcadians. This feels like one of those where Mike was trying to flub me up on names, but I nailed it, so F you, Mike. Daryl, think about it real hard, will you? Oh, we don't have a thing to test, but you guys got something, and I didn't get it yet.
Oh, you got your drink, Daryl?
Did you get your stuff?
Oh, I don't have it yet.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it should be arriving for you guys any day now.
Okay, maybe today. I don't know why it took Amazon. So we order these K-cup like chai latte things from Amazon because they're way cheaper. And they send us like a big box of them. And anyway, they usually take a day to get here. It's just like 7 days.
Oh, wow.
What's going on, Amazon? Wow. Get your drone stuff going. Bring it right to my house. Poop it on my thing, my porch. That's what I want. I want drone deliveries now. all right. Daryl, you have prepared something. Wait, why is this happening?
You've prepared something.
Here.
I've prepared a statement.
Today's trivia brought to you by Daryl about Star Trek. What is it?
Well, not exactly trivia, but it's this day in Star Trek history.
Oh, yeah, that thing I usually say that I didn't say this time for some reason.
Yeah. In 1959, Jason Alexander is born.
Woo!
Oh, Jason Alexander. He's
George Costanza?
TV's George Costanza. Why is he? Is he in Star Trek, or what's going on?
He was always a big fan of Star Trek, and he was on the episode Voyager.
Oh.
Not the episode Voyager. The episode Think Tank of Voyager.
Oh, okay. That one episode of Voyager that lasted 7 years. I remember that. It was just that one episode. that's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was in there. Was he an alien? He put on
he's an alien with the forehead of the week.
Oh, that's great. did he eat a eclair out of the garbage can or anything like that? Or what was his storyline? What was the deal there? Do you remember what he did?
Oh,
what was
I don't even remember.
I'm going to have to go find that.
It wasn't very memorable, I guess.
Here, let's just quickly. Jason Alexander, Star Trek. Here we go. He's got some kind of crazy alien head with a bunch of long hair behind it. Here's a clip. This looks like someone took it with their video camera in the living room, but we'll play it anyway, all right?
How much do you know about
it? Oh, no.
Enough to know that you are tapping into only a fraction of your potential as a member of Voyager's crew.
Weird!
Wow. Look at him with his, Oh, that does not... That ridge above his nose, that's not safe for work.
That's really weird. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah,
but that's interesting. Okay, well, good for him. He also did what was the McDonald's one?
It was
the thing hot on
McDLT,
the
side. McDLT, right? Is that the hot side hot and the cold side cold?
Yeah, and he danced around. Hot side hot, cool side cold.
That's right.
That's great.
There's a great new thing coming to McDonald's near you.
Jerry. All right, Daryl, back to you, question guy, man. Which of those do you like, A through D? Sheliaks, Lenarians, Endogians, or Arcadians? What do you like there?
Well, let's see. The only one that rings a bell is the first one. And isn't that the disease where you have to eat gluten-free stuff?
Yeah, well, now I can't remember the real one. Celiac's disease, yes.
Celiac's disease, right. Yeah.
You can't eat the gluten. You can't eat the wheat. It's basically a wheat allergy. Yeah. A bad one, too. I know I have a friend who has a very severe one, and it's pretty rough. And you never know when a food, like it seems like an innocuous food is going to have it. Like he'll get dressing at some restaurant, and they'll say, yeah, everything's gluten-free. And then he'll eat it and find out later that the dressing had gluten in it, and then he's in trouble. That's bad. I'm not talking about everyone out there who's like, I'd only eat gluten-free because blah, blah, blah. I mean actual people who actually have an allergy.
Right. But that said, damn good gluten-free. Those are some damn good cookies.
Yeah, the cookies were good despite no gluten in them. They mm-hmm. they held together. I don't know what his binding either, agent was, but it's obviously not gluten. Anyway.
Elmer's?
Elmer's glue. Mm-hmm. Elmer's food binding agent.
Elmer's food binding agent.
out now at Toys R Us or something. All right. Anyway, which way do you lean?
I think I lean to that, and I don't even remember the other ones. So if it's the other ones or one of them, I'm in trouble.
All right. They all sound like real ones, but I don't remember hearing any of them. Mm-hmm. But we know.
They all, I recognize all four of them as being something from that, right? Yeah. Like they're definitely.
Yeah. Like the name Endogian rings a bell, mm-hmm. but the rest they
Edogian,
just sound. Yeah.
Chiliac Linarians.
Cookies or something.
I keep putting an N in there. It's right. Edogian.
Edogians.
Yeah. Sorry. Screwed that up. Does that change your mind, Daryl, at all on Endogians or Edogians?
Well, since you're giving me a chance to change, I guess I'll not change and stay right where I am.
Edos ions. It's the Edos ions.
Edosians. Right.
Edosians. That just might quick, actually be right.
Yes, at the Edosians prompt.
I could. My favorite version of Edos.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see if he's right. You say it's the Chiliacs. That sounds like the dudes from Land of the Lost. What were they called? Sleestaks. Sleestaks.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that. Anyway, are you right? Are you correct? You are not. It's the Linarians. Members of this race attacked the crew. Picard took a hit in his artificial heart that caused it to malfunction. I forgot he had an artificial heart, but he does. Here's a clip of that.
What happened?
The Linarians attacked us outside of the conference room.
He's in cardiac arrest. Connect the pulmonary support unit.
Hold on. Pulmonary support unit? really? Okay, I'll let it finish.
The heart thing.
He's got internal hemorrhaging. The bioregulator of his artificial heart has been fused. He's got liver and spleen damage.
Okay. I hate fake names where they don't really try very hard. Anyway, Daryl, good job. You failed. You get what?
The pulmonary support unit is a real thing.
Is that a real thing? Daryl?
Yeah, it's a heart.
Oh, you're laggy. Hold your phone up.
My spike is out.
Just hold your phone up to the box.
Phone. I'm holding
the pulmonary's lungs. Phone. That's right. Not heart.
Oh, it is? Okay.
All right. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. All I know is the first artificial heart happened here in Salt Lake City at the University of Utah. That's all I know because I like Utah things. And so there you have it. Daryl, let's go. Oh, you're the Trek nerd on Twitter. Follow him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And now he will play a game with us called the Dr. McCoy or another thing, right? Hello?
Sky.
We're losing.
Yes, McCoy or MASH.
Okay, McCoy or MASH. Okay. All right.
I'm Skyping out again.
Yes, you are Skyping out.
I'm a doctor, not a hotel keeper.
Hotel keeper?
I'm a doctor, not a hotel keeper.
That doesn't sound like good English either way.
No, it really doesn't. What do you do? I'm a hotel keeper.
Yeah. Is that somebody
I keep hotels.
Is that somebody who hotel keeper be like a cleaning room person? Like a cleaner? I don't know. Who would say
I'm thinking like a hotel manager kind of thing.
Okay.
I would. Jeez.
Yeah, this one
sucks. I have no feeling either way on this one. It could be either. Because it would definitely be original series. It would definitely be Bones saying it because mm-hmm. they wouldn't say that anything newer.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor, not a hotel keeper.
It sounds so stupid, though.
It does.
What do you think? Where do you lean?
I'm thinking MASH.
All right, let's see if it's MASH. I'm going to flip a coin secretly and see if it lands on MASH. And if it does, I won't tell you until we find out. So here we go. Okay. Daryl, is it MASH?
Well, let's see. On season 1, episode 8 of MASH.
Oh, it's on MASH then. Oh, crap, I hung up on it.
Did you hang up?
I didn't mean to. It was total gut instinct. Ah, shoot. I'm an idiot. You got that right, though. So that's good.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right, it's the news brought to you by...
Austral spring. Yes, austral spring. It may be fall in the only time zone that matters, but in the southern hemisphere, it's springtime.
Oh, that's lovely.
It is. Watch out for those box jellyfish.
Selfies are good for the economy, it turns out.
Oh, really? Do tell.
Well, let me explain. According to this article on complex.com, Kim Kardashian, back back now since the intro of the show, she's back.
Wow.
Kim Kardashian's
full cycle.
I know. Her selfie obsession is actually doing some good for the economy. A new report from the MPD Group attributes its boost in makeup sales to the reality star's pictures. According to the study, face, eye, and lip makeup sales, face, eye, and lip makeup sales have been double-digit growth over the past year with a 14.3% increase. I'll say some at the end of this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have a theory on that.
I'm guessing that it rhymes with Schmoll Schmidt.
Yeah, that, and it also might rhyme with Schmoob Floob. But I'll get to that in a minute.
Is there such a thing called YouTube?
All right, you make a good point.
All right.
Now, if I was Demi Lovato, I would just say, "No, I meant to." That's what I meant to say.
No,
I was kidding the whole time.
I meant mug.
Yeah. celebrities such as Kim Kardashian, Beyonce, and Kara—I don't know how to say her name. Delavigne. Is it Cara Delevingne?
Cara Delevingne.
It's not Delavigne.
Vigne.
All right.
No, because you say Avril Lavigne, you don't say Avril Lavigne.
Oh, I don't know how you say her. I don't know how you spell her last name. I've never seen it spelled, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember liking her, though, back in the day. Music, I mean.
Yeah. Her, she's, she talked all about that skater boy.
Yeah.
Don't be a hater boy.
Yeah, now she's, what is she now? She's married to the one guy.
Well, she's married to Chad Kroeger, but not all is great in paradise, apparently.
Nickelback Paradise. Nickelback Paradise.
My favorite Coolio song, by the way.
I didn't know that. We should report on that. That seems like celebrity poop to me. I wonder hope that works out for him. I wish no one any ill.
Of course.
But I wonder if what happened is he caught her cheating and she says, "How do you know I was cheating?" And he went, "Look at this photograph." See how far I went for
one
that
of
joke?
The best vines. Yeah, that was a good distance for the joke.
Yeah.
That was a great vine, by the way. This photograph vine.
Look at this graph.
Anyway,
back to life, back to reality.
Yes, yes.
What's the deal? Oh, so they're saying, so according to this June Jensen, director of UK Beauty at the MPD Group, reports to BBC, the celebrity photos have attracted a new set of buyers hoping to recreate their look. They have helped drive sales for products that promise women a photo-ready HD appearance. All right, here's what I would say to this. I would argue that, yeah, there's some of that, especially when what happens a lot with these like huge Instagram celebrity people, they will often recommend what they're wearing. They'll say, "This lipstick is from so-and-so, and I love it." And that does drive sales. That's basically, it's basically advertising, whether they state it, overtly or not. So, yes, there's some impact there. Where I think most of the growth comes from is YouTube makeup videos, because some of those people have, 10 million followers watching people put makeup on every day and recommend brands and names and stuff like that. I'll bet you that's way more powerful a tool than Kim Kardashian mugging for her camera. I could be wrong.
No, I think that's right. I don't think that many people want to look like Kim Kardashian to the point where they're going to buy more makeup to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like YouTube, I'm just going to look up YouTube makeup and it's probably going to give me...
Sure. I made the mistake of doing a search for why Avril Lavigne broke up, is separating with Chad Kroeger.
What happened? What's the deal
there? According to movienewsguide.com, and I questioned the authority of this.
Yeah.
Here's the article. Avril Lavigne finally revealed why she parted ways with husband Chad Kroeger. The Canadian singer officially announced her separation through Instagram, citing reasons that Kroeger kept secrets and misinterpreted himself within their relationship. Avril skater boy Lavigne revealed that she was absolutely clueless about Kroeger's involvement with Nickelback.
Yeah, that's fake. It's got to be fake, right? Yes, that is oniony as hell.
Fake. But it's funny because all the other all of the other articles on the site look to be legitimate. So it's really funny that there's this this onion style article in here.
That's amazing. She was not aware of her involvement. Isn't involved with Nogu, but that's very funny. All right. So, for example, I found a daytime glam for every woman makeup tutorial by Jaclyn Hill. Mm-hmm. And she has 2.3 million followers. She's one of the smaller ones. And this entire thing, I'm going to skip ahead here.
Feminine and glamorous without being too much over the top, right? So I hope that you guys enjoy this look. I enjoy creating this look. I enjoy wearing this look.
Anyway, these are huge on YouTube. Enormous.
Wow.
Very, very popular.
It's too bad she doesn't make enough money to buy a microphone.
Yeah, you know, you'd think.
Or a little bit of foam padding. Yeah, something like to that. Absorb the echo.
One thing, I mean, so behind PewDiePie and a few other big name gamer, streamer, YouTuber people, I think that this might actually be the next bigger category. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'll bet if YouTube could share numbers like that, I'll bet gaming and then makeup beauty stuff is probably number two. So if anything is affecting that industry in a sizable, substantial, quantitative way, I think it's that. That's all I'm saying. Yep. You know, Tom's coming on today, so why not be analytical about the tech world? You know?
Sure, why not?
All right. Excuse me. Here we are. We are in the last days of the beard trend.
What?
Well, so surmises the Times UK. Lots of UK articles today. Uh-oh. Dr. Alun Withy. His name is A-L-U-N Withy. W-I-T-H-E-Y. That is a great British name.
Withy. Alun Withy.
Hello. Talks about his three-year research project called Do Beards Matter? Facial Hair, Health, and Hygiene in Britain, circa 1700 to 1918. Wow. In the story, he talks about the ebb and flow of the beard trend, explaining that it isn't always a signifier of masculinity. In fact, he says there are many instances in history when facial hair was considered unfashionable and antiquated, and we are likely to see such a backlash very soon. Mm. We're going to have to go clean shaven, Brian. How do you feel about that?
You go on ahead. I'll
all right. You continue. I can't believe you had that handy. Why is that near you?
Because I read ahead.
That's freaking amazing. Anyway... everyone says they're going away, so there you go. I think right now it's actually kind of at a peak. I kind of agree that it's at peak beard, but I don't know that it means it's going to be there's going to be a backlash. I think there'll just maybe be a few less beards.
It's funny that this article came up today, because yesterday I was looking at a thank you Kickstarter video posted by one of the Kickstarters I backed, actually, for some Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
It was like them going through their whole office to have everybody say thank you. Everybody, and it was all like 20-somethings, everybody had a beard. Every single person in that video.
Wow.
Like, thank you. Thanks for supporting our Kickstarter. Hey, thanks, everybody. And it's like everybody except the women had a beard.
Yeah, everybody but the ladies.
Right.
I got a neighbor lady who has a mustache that is so pronounced that it looks like a freaking mustache.
Really?
And everyone's afraid to say anything, because otherwise she is this very attractive, in her 30s, lovely woman, but she's got like a mustache of actual length, and it's dark.
Time to leave an anonymous letter in her taped to her door.
I feel like, you know, part of me's like, well, you know, let her have her mustache. And then part of me's like, yeah, but maybe I'd be doing her a favor. Does she just not notice it? Or
she has to. I mean, she has to notice it. Yeah, it's a good thing to stay out of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm as far as beards go, I'm pro-beard. I like beards right now. And I don't know if anyone's noticed, but Terpster has a glorious beard right now. And it's a great
look
for
him.
Really?
It's more than like the thinner kind of chin strap thing that he does?
No, that 90s freaking Run DMC bullcrap he usually does is gone. And in its place is this very big, full beard that looks great on him. He looks great.
Huh.
And I say, until you start getting this gray crap like I do, wear it with pride, man. Star Wars, I don't know this. Did you know this, Brian? Okay. You hear about this? Star Wars, Princess Leia from Star Wars. You know her, you know who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, get this walking
only
carpet out of
so
my
bold.
Way. Yeah, right. Only you could be so bold.
I smelled your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Yeah. Millions of voices cried out at once, because that's where I lived or whatever.
That's what she says. Yeah.
That's a cut from the movie, but it was in there. Anyway, she is nearly 2 years older than her twin brother, Luke Skywalker. How is that possible?
How is this possible?
They were supposed to be twins, but Princess Leia would actually be nearly 2 years older than Luke Skywalker because of Einstein's theory of relativity, according to scientists. Because of the relative velocity of time dilation, which describes the bending of space-time due to differences in speed. You know, that old story. Their different journeys through space in various craft would change how fast they are aging. So students at the University of Leicester. So much easier than I was making it. Made their calculations based on the twins' journey to Cloud City. Leia travels from the neighboring system of Anote and arrives at Cloud City. Arrives at Cloud City around 6.72 hours, while Luke travels from the much more distant planet of Dagobah, which takes about a week.
He's in that X-Wing with after leaving Dagobah.
Mm-hmm.
And running around on Dagobah with Yoda on his back,
yeah.
Clearly no shower,
no,
right?
Yeah.
There's no, Yoda doesn't have like a, oh yes, take a shower you must
in my little shower hut,
because I've installed central plumbing, I have. And then he's in that little cramped compartment for 7 days?
Yeah, he's all ripe and disgusting. He's probably, you know, you got to poo on that shit.
Okay, now I'm done believing Star Wars.
Yeah, so done. You're done thinking it's a factual thing.
Star
and
Trek,
fiction.
I'm hitching my...
Yeah, because even though they never showed it, you know there were bathrooms on that ship. Anyway.
Millennium Falcon, sure, yeah.
Well, Luke's X-Wing fighter, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Leia's journey yields a time dilation of 62.6 days. However, Luke experiences a time dilation of 700.8 days. The students conclude that Luke is therefore 1.7 years younger than Leia, possibly rendering them the first twins ever to have more than a year between their ages. If they were real people! But they're not real people.
It's a cool study. I mean, it's a very cool...
I like,
you know, having your class figure this out, it would make me love science and physics more than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I already love it, but...
I like this too when they take... And it happens with Star Trek a lot. Like, I have that big, giant, thick book that's the technical manual to the Enterprise.
Right.
That is awesome. Like, because it explains in this crazy amount of detail how a transporter works. And it talks about how the replicators work. And, you know, why is that stuff possible? And what's the science? And what were the breakthroughs? Like, it's all fake. But some of it's based on actual science theory. And so then they can play with that and then go further with it. I love that. So so I am not a scofflaw at this one at all.
No. No, I would love to do. I'd love to, if I could do stuff like that and be a teacher. Like, sign me up. But I know nothing of anything else, so of any merit.
Right, or except Tom.
Except Tom. That's the only merit I know.
Finally, did you know that 20 years ago, Seven happened? The movie Seven came out.
Wow,
20 years, Brian.
Seven movies and 20 years ago, our forefathers set out to find out what was in the box.
What is in the box, brethren? 20 years ago today. Or this week, I guess. Brad Pitt's exclamation of fear and dread jolted audiences and left a lasting cultural impact. So this article talks about why it still got one of the most shocking endings in the history of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Director David Fincher's breakout film and one of the most shocking, disturbing, and iconic twists in modern cinema, capping a tight, wrought thriller. The film's initial introduction to its world. I don't want to read all that because I already know all this stuff. Anyway, their point is that it still holds up, and I agree, and I still get mad when I watch it. And
do you throw the DVD out in the snow?
No, I feel like that was all because Kim was pregnant, and that just really pissed me off to the point that it just felt like it hit home. I think now I'd be a little less angry at it. I have seen it since, and it didn't make me as mad, but it's really masterful filmmaking.
It's disturbing and really well done.
It's extremely well done. The fact that we can look at Kevin Spacey in anything else and not want to strangle him is really a miracle.
Right, yeah. No kidding.
It's really good. So
yeah, he's so good.
If you never saw Seven...
It's very claustrophobic and damp and creepy.
It established Fincher style, which is really unique to him. I don't know of too many other filmmakers who make movies the way he makes them, tonally anyway.
No, but I discovered recently that, do you remember the George Michael video for Freedom 90? It was on his Listen Without Prejudice. It's the one that goes, I won't let you down.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so there was a video that didn't feature, it was when George Michael wanted to be this recluse and basically, I don't want to be in front of the cameras anymore and blah, blah, blah. Mm. I'm a tortured artist kind of thing.
One of those deals.
So he had a bunch of supermodels, men and women supermodels, lip sync the words to the video.
Yeah.
And it was everybody from that time period, from the late 80s, early 90s. We watched the video the other day and I was like, oh yeah, who are, you know, I recognize the female supermodels. I don't know who some of these male ones are. And I go online to Wikipedia and look it up. And it's like, oh yeah, okay. But I guess I didn't recognize any of their names anyway. And then I scroll down a little bit and it says the video directed by David Fincher.
Whoa. Oh yeah, he was a music video guy. That's right.
He was a music video guy. A lot of those directors did get their start doing music videos, but I had no idea that he did that one. And then when you see that and there's like rain dripping down the walls and it's kind of black and white Blade Runner-esque and it's, you know, kind of got this dark feel to it. It's like, wow, I could see how you get from this to Seven.
Yeah, I'm going to see. There's probably a list. Oh, here it is. There's even a list of directors that started in music videos. Mm. Let's just see their names real quick.
Sure.
This will be fun. Spike Jones.
Sure.
I knew that one. Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris. I don't know who they are, but they did a Smashing Pumpkins stuff and a few other things. And then their movie is, Little Miss Sunshine. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. That whole dance scene in Little Miss Sunshine. I'm hoping that Michel Gondry is in that list because he is my favorite music video producer turned movie director.
Oh, that's cool. Well, let's see if she is. All right, so we got Mark Webb.
That's a he.
Well, that
it might be pronounced.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Michael,
yeah, it's M-I-C-H-E-L.
Oh, one of the French Michelle or something.
Right, exactly. Mark, he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
So there's somebody named Mark Webb who did Green Day's Waiting, Weezer's Perfect Situation.
He did Spider-Man movies recently, right?
He did, and 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
So known for that.
Another great musical break.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true. Mike Mills, I don't know what Thumbsucker is. Okay, there's David Fincher. He's done.
Mike Mills is the guy from REM.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mike Mills is not the. Oh, it says Mike Mills is not the bass player from REM. It says.
Okay.
He says he was originally a graphic designer and then filmmaker, who then went on to do films. And then you got Fincher, Michael. Oh, Michel Gondry.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Lucas with the lid off. Bjork.
His music videos are some of the coolest things ever.
Now that you mention it. Oh, he
especially
did.
Especially the Let Forever Be by the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah.
Which I will say is one of the 10 best videos ever filmed.
That's really cool, dude.
It's
check it out.
Well done and clever.
He also did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That was him. Mm-hmm.
And then the one about dreaming, was it The Science of Sleep or something?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. But Eternal Sunshine was great.
There's a bunch more in here. I don't know these names. Oh, Garth Jennings. We know him, don't we?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Do we?
Mark Romanek, Mark Pellington. Some of these names aren't ringing a bell to me. Gore Verbinski. Oh, you know who else I know for sure? Alex Proyas, who did Dark City. He was originally, did like Crowded House. The Dream, Don't Dream It's Over.
Again, you can see that, especially like the way that video moves, like the movement from through the walls and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Antoine Fuqua, Training Day, among many, many other films. The Replacement Killers. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. He's got a new one out. I forget what it's called. Anyway, he's did Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. So that's cool.
Nice.
Remember Coolio?
Oh, totally remember. I mentioned him earlier.
You know, he's got talent. Maybe the biggest name on here. Simon West is a big deal too, but Michael Bay. Well, Simon West and Michael Bay are kind of
David Fincher is still a big name.
Yeah, Fincher's probably the biggest name. Yeah. Anyway, it's cool. It's a great place to hone your talent, I guess, and get cool looks and people
Who's
notice
the guy,
you.
Guy Mulcahy, not Father Mulcahy, but Russ Mulcahy.
Jocularity. Oh, wrong. Mulcahy.
He did all the Duran Duran videos. He's got that very specific style of all the Duran Duran videos.
And he makes movies too now.
What was the one with Sam Jackson and Ashley Judd?
Oh,
Was it Bone Collector?
No, that one's That's the Last Time I Saw Andy Dufresne.
Yeah, right. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Shoot.
I can't remember
I can't remember.
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, anyway, he does videos now too.
Yeah. Also, I don't think Samuel L. Jackson is aging. I just want to point that out. I
think and Dice Tomato also brings up Gondry did the Kylie Minogue Come Into My World video, and he put a link in the show notes. If you have not seen this video after TMS, watch the video, because again, it put in my top 10 favorite videos of all time, because it is so clever, so amazing.
Is this the one?
That's the one.
Okay, I'll check it out after. I'll bookmark it.
Just, and don't leave it on the background and do something else. Just sit and watch it, because you'll pick up things, you'll be seeing this, and you'll be going like, oh my God, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
How the hell did they do this? It's fantastic.
Don't they have a watch later thing?
I just keep it in a tab in the background.
Oh. All right, well, I'll just...
Do that.
I'll just do that. All right. Then we're going to take a break. Let's take a break. Yes. When we come back, it's Recommentals. After that, Tom's Tech Time. Should be good fun. So come on back for that. Well, Nicole will not be here, but Tom or Brian and I have prepared something. So come on back for that here in a minute. Before that, though, Brian brought music, and he will play it now.
I'm so excited to play this one. So Elizabeth Turner wrote in. Mm-hmm. She is the wife to Zeladir in the Tadpool.
Oh, cool.
He's a fan, listens every day. And so she wanted to request a song dedicated to him and say, here's her words. I just wanted to dedicate this song to my husband because he is such a great father to our 5 kids. I know he loves listening to TMS, and I thought this song would have special meaning for him. Aww.
Aww.
So she gave me some ideas of what songs she wanted, and I'm actually going to go with a song that's not a cover, but it seems like the most appropriate to Elizabeth's message. This is from a movie soundtrack. I'm just going to tell you that it's Dave Wakeling from General Public. Mm. You'll recognize his voice immediately.
Okay.
And you'll also enjoy the message that this song provides. And I won't say any more than that.
Yeah.
It came out in 1998 on the soundtrack and the movie for the same name. And here it is.
Let's just say that I like John Hughes a lot. All right. Here's your song. Enjoy, especially you, Zeladir.
separately.
Sharing all my feelings with my Care Bear. Cause I'm a Care Bearer.
Share Bear.
Pressing them, dressing them. Care Bearer.
Flipkart Rabbit.
Hopping them, bopping them. Care Bearer. Can't bear to be without my Care Bear.
Care Bears and Care Bear Cousins from Kenner.
Yes, if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go. That's right, hit the road, Jack.
I'm getting too old for this show. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. That was good news there, Zella dear. Congratulations.
How cool is it that she asked us, like, used our show here to be the way to break the news that they're going to be parents again.
She's having a baby. I also like how most everyone in the chat room who's not really paying attention to the sentimentality of the message hates this song.
Yes, that's not the point of this song, War Crusher.
Yeah,
and
jeez, Silver Wisp, easy there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, way to poop on their good news, War Crusher and Silver Wisp. And
listen, there's two things I know. One,
hope you feel really good about yourselves now.
Yeah, I hope you feel great about it. The main thing I know is this, Brian, right here. I know.
I love fish.
Okay, I love fish. And the secondly, I think you said 98, wasn't it 88?
No, 88.
Oh, you said 98.
Did I say 98?
Yeah, and I thought, wait a minute, there's no way that movie came out in 98.
Oh, no, I thought I said 1988, but...
That's all right.
Because that's what it says in the notes here.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
Yeah. Sorry, if I misspoke, then that was absolutely...
My brain had a time travel moment, and I was like, what the... anyway, hey, so we love fish, what else? Oh, we love movies, and we're going to do recommendals now. So we're not going to play Nicole's normal thing. I have to find it here. We're going to play this. It's time for recommendals. That means we're going to recommend some stuff from streaming services. Nicole is still... So the baby's in the not the ICU, but the neonatal care unit. Because the baby was born prematurely, but things are going really well. So there's no big fears about that. But she is like back and forth in the hospital and very busy. And it's new baby time, so we are not bothering her until she is good and ready to come back. But we thought we'd carry on in her name, make some recommendations, specifically streaming television shows, which we haven't done in a while.
Right.
Brian, let's start with yours. You want me to play your clip? Do you have any setup for what it might be?
This is something I've been binge-watching lately, so it won't be a surprise to anybody.
Mm. Well, so let's just play it and see what's up. Here you go.
Who are Tony Curtis, Cary Grant, and Lucille Ball? You're so very close, but you're incorrect, unfortunately, and that means it's going to cost you $2,900. That takes you down to $400. And it takes us to Cliff. Cliff, good news for you. Both of your opponents came up with incorrect responses. And what that means is that even if you're wrong, as long as you didn't do anything foolish like wager everything, you're a cinch winner.
Well, then we don't have to see my answer, do we there, Alex? Listen, we see you at the Tournament of Champions.
Cliff, we're running out of time, and we are going to have to take a look at your response. You wrote down... Who are three people who have never been in my kitchen? No, I'm sorry. That too is wrong. The correct response.
That's very funny. At first, I'm like, wait, you're binge watching old Jeopardy episodes?
Right. That's what I wanted you to think. Yeah. It's what I decided to try and pull a clip from because I haven't gotten to that episode yet. I'm still in the first season. But that right there is one of my favorites ever of Jeopardy. And I'm sorry, of Cheers. And. And it's funny. I mean, this is complete and total comfort food. There's other things that I have on my list that I need to watch, or not need to watch, but that I've been told I should watch.
Sure.
And there's just something very satisfying about watching something that you've seen before and you've seen probably again in syndication. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know, calming and...
I could not agree more. I love Cheers for that reason. There's other shows of that ilk that I feel the same way about. But what made Cheers different at the time for me was most sitcoms or comedies... were that kind of crappy video camera quality, like look like someone took it with like video and not film.
Right.
And yep. I always hated that because it just struck me as cheap or something. But then along comes Cheers, which was like lit really well and felt like this tavern in Boston. And there's something about that and the theme music and just kind of all of it made it stand out. And so it stuck with me and now it's total comfort food. I could put on MASH, I can do that with MASH too, but... I can put on Cheers all day and just like work to it. It's like fantastic. So I'm with you, Brian. Totally agree. Yeah. Good recommendation. Netflix, right?
Netflix. The whole damn thing is on there. And by the way, the reason I'm switched over from Cheers from Quantum Leap is because the finale, the Quantum Leap finale, is not on Netflix.
What?
Yeah, so I stopped watching that. I'm like, well, screw you. I'll watch it on DVD at some because I have all the DVDs.
Does he get back to his old life in the finale? I don't spoil it, I guess.
Okay. I won't say a word.
we're well past the 2 weeks on that.
The 2 weeks, yeah. Exactly.
I never heard how it ended. I guess I never saw
the ending?
I don't think I ever saw the ending, no.
Oh, dude.
It wasn't somehow missed it. I don't know why. I don't know why I would have missed that. Well, anyway, here's mine. See if you can guess what this is from, all right? You'll probably know the actors, but
I'm sure will, yeah.
So if you know, here you go.
You know, I like being a dad. It gives my life meaning. Mm-hmm. It's not like I planned on starting my own nationality.
You know who tried to do that? Hitler.
Why is it always Hitler with you?
I'm just saying that you have kids everywhere, scattered everywhere. Look, there's one right there.
This is a special bonding time with me and my son. We come here and we split a pastrami sandwich.
He's sleeping.
Well, that means I can eat his half.
Here's the thing, man. I'm your friend. I love you. You know, I'm trying to be supportive.
I'm over here.
Yeah, but your life is pathetic.
My life?
Yes, your life.
You know, that is pretty ironic coming from a guy who lives with his mother in a retirement community.
In a retirement community, half a block from a strip joint.
Oh, I take it back.
All right, so obviously it's the Jim Gaffigan show.
Okay, I didn't know. I haven't seen this yet.
So this show is on TV Land, which is, it's an original show on TV Land.
Right.
The best way I could describe it, it's not exactly a fair description, but I would kind of describe it as a combination of, say, Arrested Development and Louis.
Mm-hmm.
The Louis C.K. thing.
Yeah, the Louis comparison I definitely have heard before as well. So
because it's it's about a comedian who's living his life and doing his thing, but it's a lot less like Louis likes to get kind of dark and go in places that are like really uncomfortable. This is just a very happy, kind of joyful comedy that's very funny. That was Adam Goldberg, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah,
very funny.
He was in that. That's awesome.
He's a freaking hoot. I forget the lady that plays his wife. She's really funny too. But anyway, it is awesome, and I'm so glad I found it. So it's on Hulu, is where I'm getting it.
Okay.
And the entire first season's on there. I hope they keep making the show. I think it may be my favorite new comedy. And I love Gaffigan anyway. But it just really captures his whole vibe. Like, aging fat guy, kind of great-looking wife, bunch of kids, way too many kids. That whole thing that is Gaffigan stand-up, they've translated it really well.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's no laugh track. It's just them, yapping and talking and doing funny stuff. And I found it delightful. So if you are interested at all in that, I think you might enjoy it as well.
Totally going to check it out. That's great.
That's the Jim Gaffigan Show on Hulu Plus. Well, I guess it's not Plus anymore, just Hulu without commercials.
Right. Hulu Extreme.
Hulu a lot better, I'll say that. I don't have a single complaint about this no commercial Hulu. I really, really like it.
Hulu without the following program is presented with limited commercial interruption.
And all that hitching and like waiting for a thing to load and then... Mm-hmm. Not having it load and having it think I'm blocking ads and I'm not. All that stuff, gone.
Good.
It just works on all my devices. I think it's worth the money. There's tons of great shows on there. It's awesome. I can't believe I'm saying that about a company I hated a year ago. But they know what I need now, and they gave it to me. So good job, guys. Way to go. Tom's joining the program shortly.
Cool.
And when I say shortly, I don't mean height, because he's as tall as me, pretty much. All right, here you go. Here's the thing.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. Tom, you're not that. I mean, you're just barely shorter than me, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a good 2 feet shorter than you. I don't remember. It depends on whether my hair's sticking up or not.
When I walk into a room, I always don't feel like the tall guy in the room until I see a photo, and then I go, oh my gosh, I'm like 7 inches to a foot taller than everyone in there. Like, there's no way anyone's taller than me, except when you hang around Todd Whitehead. That guy's really tall.
Yeah, that guy's tall. Or Jason Howell.
Jason Howell, yeah. He gives me a big room for the money. In fact, I think he's got me beat.
I'm looking at the picture from Nerdtacular a couple years ago. It's sitting on the floor over here.
Yeah, because everything's right in hand's reach for Tom.
And you're a couple inches on me.
All right, well, that's fine. And we're talking about height, everybody. I just want to point that out. It's about height.
Oh!
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Different picture.
Tom Merritt comes on the show every Wednesday. We talk about the technology stories of the day in preparation, really, for a big, heavy, awesome DTNS later today. 2:30 Mountain with myself, Tom, and maybe a guest sometimes. We never know. Yeah. We're very interested here on the morning show about what's happening in the world. What is happening in technology? What's tinkling your bell?
Well, Europe's taking a tinkle all over U.S. data.
Oh, no.
How about that?
I don't like that sound at all.
Here's the thing. Yeah. We can have fun and talk about how Amazon has 6 new pilots coming soon for us to watch and vote on. Mm-hmm. Or we can get serious and talk about the fact that the European Advocate General for the European Court of Justice has ruled in an opinion that it is that the agreement signed in 2000 for safe harbor data transfer between the European Union and the United States should be declared invalid because the United States does not properly protect the data of European citizens.
Oh,
well, we could talk about that, but it seems like we've already covered it.
Yeah, it seems like maybe we have. But here,
I'll tell you, in brief, what's left to say is that is not an actual court decision. That's an opinion.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually change anything yet.
I was going to ask you about that.
The court often follows the opinions of that advocate. Mm. So it's likely the court would agree with him. And if he did, or if the court did, I don't know why the court became a guy. If the court agreed with that opinion, then it would cause all kinds of havoc for tech companies because not only would they have to keep all European data within Europe instead of letting it flow wherever the servers are, but in addition to that, different countries within Europe might have different policies on data retention.
Well, that sounds like a bad intranet to me. That's a terrible thing if that goes that direction.
Well, you know, for instance, China already does this.
Sure.
Russia has been doing it more and more. So all they're saying is, look, it's the internet, but the data, you know, if I sign up for Gmail and I'm in Germany, then my Gmail data should stay stored in Germany, not over in the U.S. where the FISA court can get their dirty hands on it.
Okay. Does this extend? I don't want to get hyperbolic here, but does this extend to things like where do you keep recordings of Terpster on a podcast? What server's that on? And does that protect his privacy because he let something slip once?
That's a good question, and I would probably have to research it to give you a firm answer. Mm. But it really does apply to companies providing a service, not you as a person.
Okay, so it's narrower than that, and that's good, I suppose. But, man, that seems weird. Maybe I just have a bias against what China and Russia is doing, and so I'll admit perhaps I'm biased against that kind of thinking with the internet, but it just seems like a very strange thing for a Western country to go, yeah, we're gonna clamp down and make it so it's harder to get information around. I understand the idea. I know that they're way more hardcore about like user security and all that stuff.
And then put this with the Microsoft court case where the U.S. is trying to subpoena data that was stored on an Irish Microsoft server. And you can see why Europe's like, look, it's bad enough. The United States is trying to reach out and grab information that's over here already.
Yeah.
We should definitely not be allowing companies to store it over there. That is one perspective.
You'll have to put it on your own servers, they said. Is that what they did?
I'm not sure what country that was.
Look, my Irish accent is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. All right. So, but let's do talk about the Amazon thing real quick. Ironically, when you said they've got a bunch of pilots coming, my brain immediately thought Palm Pilots.
Drones.
I thought Palm Pilots. I thought like,
oh,
like
really?
They picked
really,
up the
your brain went Palm Pilots.
I really
that
did.
So interesting.
My brain went straight to Palm Pilot. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Admitting that makes you shows that you're vulnerable, and we appreciate that, and it endears you to us.
Yeah, I admit when I make a mistake. Unlike Demi Lovato. All right. Anyway. It's a long time, the other story.
Demi Lovato's never made a mistake.
No,
Scott.
Ever in her life.
Ever.
I know,
ever.
It's my understanding. Mugs are great. So tell us about that, because that's exciting. I know that I'm a little conflicted, because both Jessica Jones and Man in the High Tower, whatever it's called, are both premiering all their episodes on the exact same day in November.
Which so sad.
Kind of blows, because I really want to watch.
Remember, it's called Man in the High Castle.
Sorry, what is it? Dude in the High Tower.
It's just my favorite book of all time.
High Tower is the best character on the Police Academy. Is that it? Is that the name?
Yeah. That's the name, yes.
Man in the High Castle.
Oh, that's it. I haven't read the book, but I know it's one of your... I didn't know it was your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Oh, I feel bad I thought your favorite was Citadel 32, available now at Tom Merrick's book.
I really like that Lord of the Circles book. What is that?
Lord of the
Star
Jewelry.
Battle's my favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
Star Battle? Oh, yeah.
Star Battle?
It's really good. Anyway, sorry. All right, so they've been big on the pilots. We got more stuff coming. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. There's six more coming. They didn't give a release date, but this is the new fall pilots coming from Amazon. So, you know, I wish somebody would just give a list. Maybe Amazon themselves does that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
They do. Edge, based on George Gilman's best-selling book series of the same name. Mm-hmm. Good Girls Revolt, about the 1969 Cultural Revolution. Heisten, which is about a 19-year-old who has imaginary celebrity friends only he can see. So I guess in the pilot, Flea and Shaquille O'Neal guest star as his imaginary friends.
Fantastic.
One Mississippi, which is a dark comedy loosely inspired by Tig Notaro's life.
Oh, yeah, the comedian. She's great.
And Louis C.K. is the executive producer on that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Patriot, following the complicated life of intelligence officer John Travner. Mm-hmm. And Z, a bioseries pilot based on the life of Zelda Fitzgerald, F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife.
Oh, these are varied and interesting.
Yeah.
Do these feel like shows? Because last time they did this, and they were all pretty good. I really enjoyed what we saw last year, and I was really happy to hear the two specifically that I liked, which was the High Castle one and then the other one. It was called something Men. Not Mad Men, obviously. Anyway.
Real Men. Or what was that? Yeah, because I remember seeing it, too.
It's got the Pirioli guy in it. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I really liked it. So it was some British remake. I forget. It's just two words.
Men
and
in
it's,
the... Men in the High Castle.
Oh, they said
Men in the High Tower.
Enema Men. I don't know what it was. But anyway, that's coming and that other one's coming. If they both felt like shows that maybe were getting passed over by other networks, is that kind of what these are? Or do we know how Amazon procures this stuff? This isn't them just paying for it all.
Well, it's interesting. Because what Netflix does is they go and they contract with somebody and say, hey, we want you to make the show and we'll give you a season or even two right out of the gate, which is why House of Cards jumped at the chance because HBO didn't give them as good of a deal. Mm-hmm. They had full creative freedom. Amazon does it a little differently. They have the creative freedom of a Netflix, but they say, you know, we'll contract you to do a pilot, mm-hmm. and then we'll decide whether to pick it up, which is a more traditional way of doing it. But then they air the pilots in front of people and supposedly take into account what the reaction to those pilots is before they greenlight things. So it's not stealing things, or it's not taking things that were passed over all the time.
Right.
Sometimes it's things that the networks would have gone for, but Amazon became a more attractive deal for somebody and they decided to go through that system. I'm waiting for the day when somebody's Amazon pilot gets rejected and they take it somewhere else and get it made. I'd be very interested to see that. We've seen the reverse happen with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, mm-hmm. which began production for NBC, and then NBC decided not to put it on its lineup and gave it to Netflix.
Yeah,
and not gave. I mean, they charged them for it.
Wasn't a little gift?
No. Yeah. No. And so we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if we ever see the reverse happen.
Yeah, and the fun part for me is just thinking about the data they get. So I'm guessing that Amazon, part of their decision-making process, whether a pilot gets accepted or not, isn't just feedback or reviews or, you know, like kind of traditional what's the audience saying, but it's also how many people watched it twice or three times. Or
and how many people started it and continued how far into it.
Sure.
You know, what's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure they do what Netflix does and looks at what are the popular things on Amazon Prime Instant Streaming.
Sure.
And figure, okay, well, this one may not have done as well, but we know it's going to be really popular with this audience, so we'll handicap it and handicap its score and give it a green light anyway.
Yeah, I like it. I'm glad they're doing it.
Did you see Sneaky Pete, by the way?
No, I never saw Sneaky Pete.
It's still
Mad
up.
Dogs. You can still watch it.
Mad Dogs.
Yeah. No, Men. That's why. Mad Dogs with Romney.
Yeah, awesome. I liked that show a lot. That one's pilot. Coming. And that one is coming,
Ben
right?
Ben Chaplin, Michael Imperioli.
What's the guy? Steve Zahn's in it.
Steve Zahn.
He was great. What's his name was in it, but I won't give away if he is or isn't now. Never mind. I won't even bring it up.
But Sneaky Pete, that's got Giovanni Ribisi, looks like.
Oh, that's cool.
And I it's a Bryan Cranston produced vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Check that out. All right. Yeah. I'm going to have
to. Too bad it's not.
Oh, not to steal. Wait.
It's not the Sneaky Pete from Badger's friend, Sneaky Pete.
No, it's not in the same universe.
That was Skinny Pete. Skinny Pete was
Skinny Pete, yeah. That's right.
These are different. One's skinny, one's sneaky.
Yeah. I have been out.
It can't make you skinny.
Look, as much as I like Better Call Saul, and I do, I really would not mind an offshoot called Badger and Skinny Pete. Yeah, but it needs to be him and Badger. They both have to be together.
Badger and Skinny Pete. That is solving crimes.
I had an idea for a new Star Trek episode.
That would be amazing. You know it would be. Be really good. Well, anyway, more on that and many other tech stories later today on DTNS at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll be on today's episode. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait. Tom, anything else to mention?
Look, most of you have heard me talk about Citadel 32 before, but you know what else? Most of you haven't bought it yet.
Whoa. I can't reconcile these numbers.
Just throwing that out there. TomMerrittBooks.com.
Yeah. I did the cover, and we'll sign it if we ever see you. So
definitely
make it happen. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. We'll see you at 2:30.
All right.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
Bye. See you later. Oh, I have a big announcement.
Oh, tell me.
I forgot to mention it earlier. So you know how we have Dan every other Thursday on PM?
Yes.
The alternating Thursdays, we are now going to have a eSports update.
Oh, really?
With Garrett Weinzerl.
From Angry Chicken.
From the Angry Chicken and into the Nexus. He will come on with his blue hair and tell us what's happening in the world of sports, electronic style.
Wow. All right, anyway, cool. I'm in.
I didn't prepare any of that. That was just me being an idiot. But he'll be here this Thursday, in fact.
Cool. This will be his premiere episode, his premiere visit.
Sure. So something big happened going down in the esports world, like StarCraft 2 Legacy of the Void multiplayer tournament, something. Great. Hearthstone tournament's great. Something like Dota and League have a big deal coming up. We'll talk about that. Like, we'll just have, it'll be like a sports section of a newscast at the end of the thing, except we're talking the sports we care about.
Good, because they can only talk about Card Crawl so much.
That game's great.
As the app of the week or
the
whatever.
The game is great, isn't it? I told you it was good.
It is good. I've only got a couple more cards to buy, and then I'm ready to start earning in the streak.
You went hardcore, man.
You know, when you're sitting there and your wife's watching Top Gear, not Top Gear, but Face Off and stuff like that, I can just, you know,
it's a great
play
game
this
for
in
that.
The background.
Yeah, great game for that. Great dental office game as well.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could play while I was in the chair.
Brian, we're going to do a couple of phone calls, and they're brought to us by...
By the DVD sale at Coverville. Yes, the Equinox sale, because today's the Equinox. If you buy the Coverville 6DV set before end of day tomorrow, it'll ship on Friday. Well, end of business day on tomorrow. And it'll ship on Friday if you're in the U.S. $40 gets you all 6 DVDs, which gives you episodes 1 through 1,000 of Coverville on 6 DVDs.
Nice.
It's the last time it's going to be offered at that price on Friday or sometime past the weekend. The price will go up, but it's your chance. If you don't have the DVDs, and I'm doing this to kind of clear some space off my shipping table so I don't have to use the poker table to get all this Cantina stuff out.
Yeah.
So check it all out.
You'd rather use that table Coverville. To poke things. You'd rather use the table to poke things. I get it.
I'd rather use the table to poker.
Right.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum.
Sorry, where do they go?
Coverville. Yeah. Coverville.com is where you'll find out about that. And, you know, really quickly, might as well while I'm talking about Coverville, today's episode will feature covers of two folks. One having a birthday, one would have had a birthday were he still alive. Joan Jett and Ray Charles the episode today.
Wait, when did Ray Charles die?
Shortly before the movie came out.
No. I did not know that. Why did I think? Oh, you know, this is embarrassing.
Oh, boy.
You know who I'm thinking of.
No, I don't. Jamie Foxx?
No. Who's the other blind guy?
Stevie Wonder.
Isn't she not? Yeah, I'm thinking of Stevie Wonder. He's still with us.
Ray
terrible.
Charles died in 2004. Stevie Wonder's still alive.
Okay.
And still playing the harmonica.
Let's see. 73 years old, Ray Charles was.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, one quick note. I keep getting these private messages on the IRC from frogfan_69463.
Yeah.
Here they are, because they're cracking me up. Because out of context, they're just really funny. So there are 4 posts, all at different times during the show today. Yeah. First one, beards matter. Second one, they're good for your skin. Third one, Luke used baby wipes to keep clean. Fourth one, talk about the Apple hack. Isn't that great?
That is great. And a much shorter list than you've got. I've got about 3 pages of these.
Is this the same dude?
Yes. It's... Let's see. The Trek nerd, Levine, or something. Did y'all see Ant-Man? Fight scenes were hilarious. Hilarious. Are those? These are all individual messages. Are those Beats headphones? I noticed they have wireless earbuds for $199.99. Wow. There's a small video of you flashing in the top left-hand corner of the video view. They use baby wipes. Maybe. If you taught, I would sit in your class. And these are all, in, like, maybe is one on its own.
That's amazing. He's my favorite new random person we don't know.
Thank you, FrogFan69463. Don't ever change your nickname. I love that one.
Yeah, don't go changing. You are who you are. Be who you want to be. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, speaking of Apple, I have a quick question for smart guys in the chat room. And you can just email me about this, okay? Or text me or tweet me or something. I'm going to be picking up the Duke this weekend, the big phone.
The 6S Plus.
Yes.
The 6S Plus.
My contract is ready for a new thing. But I'm hearing rumors that if I go to AT&T to, you know, re-up and get a phone on at the subsidized price and do another two-year contract, that they're telling people they don't want to do that anymore and they're going to make me do the lease the phone thing where you don't own the damn thing and at the end you have to give it back to them. I mean, right. I like the Apple. Apple's new one gives you Apple Care, plus you get to keep the phone at the end of the time. So I kind of like that one if that's my only choice. But are you telling me, I just need to get my head around this. Is my only option with them to go in and do the leasey thing or buy the phone for the thousand whatever as a just raw-ass phone without a contract? Or can I still do this subsidized contract price? Because when they got up and showed it, they showed it on screen with the subsidized price.
Yeah, I think you still can do the subsidized price.
Okay.
They'll just try and convince you that... Oh, there you go. They'll up your monthly data rate if you go with the two-year contract. So we can't get the grandfathered thing anymore, like the unlimited data grandfather dealio?
It sounds to me like they're about to change something, and wow. I don't like how AT&T behaves when this happens. So what I'm thinking of doing is going to Apple instead, bearing with the line that might be, and do it there because I prefer their payment thing because their payment thing gives you Apple Care for the entirety of the contract. And when you're done, you can keep your phone. You can sell it. You can do whatever you want with it. AT&T gets, you have to give them your phone to swap it out for the next years. So F that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing AT&T then. I'll still do their, you know, I'm fine with their service. I got off the grandfather thing a while ago anyway. So that doesn't, we have a family plan that's much cheaper. So I don't care about any of that, but I'm not going in there and having them up. This is what they do, dude. This is how they try to get people off of things is they screw with you.
Exactly.
I don't like that. And I know they all do this to some extent. I'm telling you right now, the wireless world sucks. It needs to, at least in the States, it needs to change. There needs to be more competition. There needs to be less of this weirdness that only three companies can do to everybody. It sucks. I hate it.
Yeah.
Moving on. Here's your calls. You ready for this?
Yes.
I got a text. That's probably...
Oh, these are calls or texts?
These are calls, sorry.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, Daryl. It's always Daryl. Buzzing my crotch, Daryl. You're always buzzing my crotch. As much as I enjoy that. All right, here is a phone call about what happened at the gym.
Hey, Scott and Brian. So I was catching up on some old episodes that I had in my log, and...
Wait, he has a log?
Hey-o.
He's a log.
His log.
His log. All right, sorry. Anyway.
I was listening to the one where you guys were talking about the drones dropping stuff over the walls of the prison. Mm. And sometimes I like to listen to them at the gym. And, Scott, you said something about how you were like, well, you know what this means? And Brian was like, that the prisoners need pockets. And I laughed so hard while I was doing squats that I farted and fell. So thanks for that.
You farted and fell over. Did you say this before you did?
I'm over 72.
Did that happen? That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
What a great story.
Squat farts. At squat least farts. You just farted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
I love fish.
Whoops, I wasn't supposed to play that. Sorry.
I love fish.
Next one up is a Darius Rucker follow-up about his visit to that bar. This is a little lengthy.
Oh, I was really hoping when I saw this in there that Darius Rucker was going to follow up with us.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, my belly starts a-rumbling. I'm hungry for a treat.
That's right.
Let it cry.
Let it cry. Let it go. So here it is, Darius Rucker follow-up from... Dude, what saw him and took the photo. Here you go.
Hey, good morning, Scott. It's Chad from South Carolina, the guy that sent you the picture last night of Hootie holding his daughter in that bar. It was actually a pretty cool moment. He walked in, a buddy of mine owns this little hole-in-the-wall place in Columbia, South Carolina, and Darius and the old lead guitarist for Hootie, Mark Bryan, apparently do a free show for the journalism school at the University of South Carolina every year. And they come back and just do a little duet with the two of them. I thought it was pretty cool that they did that. I wanted you to know that, no, I actually did not ask him to sing my cover of the TMS Bank Itinerant, simply because I don't think he's got the money to pay me the royalties for that song that I wrote. But I did, and I didn't want to be like all up in his business, but I did talk to Mark for a good bit because, you know, all the chicks were hanging all over him. And asked him what they were doing now. I thought Brian would find this kind of interesting. I wonder if Brian knows anything about it. He has started a music industry program at the College of Charleston down in Charleston, South Carolina, where I went to school. They did not have that when I was in school down there. I didn't really want to ask him too much about it because, again, didn't want to be all up in this business because they were just hanging out at a local bar. But I thought it was interesting that he was doing that. I did ask Mark there if the Burger King Bacon Cheddar Ranch ever hits the set list anywhere they go. And he did laugh and say that, no, that one hasn't been called out for by the fans yet. Anyway, man, hope you're doing well. Hope you have a great show today and a great weekend. See you soon, man.
All right. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
He's a trooper for sending that to us in the first place, but also just getting all that cool info. It is cool that those guys are up to, like, cool educational things. I think that's great. You know, they're from there. They're giving back to the community, free concerts, a music program at the local college. Like, that's awesome. Totally awesome.
Well, that's where they all met. The University of South Carolina.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. It's like all those bands, Talking Heads, met at the at an art college, art school. And
is REM like that?
Devo may have met at Ohio State.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think they were there like, I got an F? Like that? We better leave school and make an album. all right, that's that.
Good.
We're done. Thank you for that. The phone number that we use to have people call and leave messages for that we just played.
I only want to study with you. Sorry, it took me a second, but I had to jump in.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. We couldn't. I don't want to go. I didn't want to finish the show without that one. Now that I've heard
right,
it,
sure.
That was fantastic. Yeah. 801-471-0462 is the phone number. Leave us a voicemail. You can email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can find Brian on Twitter at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, the show at Morning Stream, and our Reddit is frogpants.reddit.com. Please use it liberally. I think that's everything for today. Tomorrow should be your regular Thursday in that it will contain Wendy and some sort of helpful bit of advice for somebody. So come on back for that. And then tomorrow night, TMSPM. What else happened today? DTNS for me, Coverville for you.
That's right. And I think, you know what I might try doing? Because I'm ahead of the game. I might try doing 1 o'clock for Coverville as a test. Because if I can do this, then that means no overlap between that and DTNS.
Oh,
and,
good. Good. Because we're all fans here. Everybody
we're
wants
all fans.
To hear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd like to be able to tune into your show while I'm editing Coverville.
I think that's great.
But we'll see, because I did realize that I did just post 2 p.m. on the top corner of coverville.com. So maybe I'll have to change that for next week.
Okay, that's all good.
So still 2 p.m. today,
yeah.
And then we're going to try 1 p.m. next week.
I'm all in the mood for Hootie music now.
Yeah.
It's in my head now. Let her go.
There's a lady who's sure. Oh, he didn't do that.
Anyway. No, he didn't do that.
All that glitters is gold.
Not quite, but. Close. All right, that's it.
She only wants to be with you.
Do you want to? That's a good mashup. Do you want to play? Do you want to play some music here?
Sure.
I doubt it's Rucker, but let's put it in anyway.
Let's see if this makes up for anything here. Nikki Yanoff. I'm sorry. No, that's who performs the song. Ryan Murphy emailed in.
Okay.
September 20th marks 1 year since Ashley and I were married, surrounded by friends and family in a beautiful outdoor ceremony at Trent University. I'd like to request a cover that we played while the wedding party walked down the aisle with a little help from my friends, performed by Nikki Yanofsky. It's a tad slower than most covers of the song. Oh, I just heard Silver Wisp disconnect his browser. So feel free to replace it with a faster paced version if needed. Thanks.
Nice.
Signed, Ryan Murphy. You know what? No, you requested that song. I'm going to play that song. With a little help from my friends, of course, originally by the Beatles. Well, originally by Billy Shears, mm-hmm. of course, Ringo
yeah.
Starr's
yeah.
Pseudonym in Sergeant Pepper. Nikki Yanofsky and from the album Of The I Swing. Huh?
All right.
I'm just looking to see if I have anything else about this. This is not. Oh, hold on a second.
All right. It's all right.
Hold on a second. Okay. I think I gave you.
Did you give me the wrong song?
I gave you the wrong song, but.
Here, I'll play this just for fun.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the one I want you to play.
Oh, is that the one? The one,
yes,
that starts with a W.
Yes, because it changes it so much. That's okay. Right. Because I thought, yeah, it is a little slow. It is a little boring. And when I looked in there and I saw David Peel, it's like, oh, this is the David Peel version. This is really, really cool. Well, with a little help from my friends, I'm having you start it fairly long into the track, although I think I actually may have cut out the beginning part. But this is, this changes up the song enough to make it feel like you're listening to it again for the first time.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the sound of that.
It's old, too. It's from like 1968 or 69 and re-released in 1999 as part of the Exotic Beatles Part 3. So, Ryan Murphy, I'm not playing the version, the little slow, wispy version that you requested, but you said I could change it up with a faster-paced version if needed. So that's what I'm going to do. All right.
I like it. I think it sounds great. So let's play it. Who is it again? Ryan Murphy.
David Peel covering, it's going out to Ryan Murphy. Okay. David Peel covering the Beatles with a little help from my friends.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. Thank you for being here. See you then.
What would you do if I sang at the zoo? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your wheel and I'll sing you a song. And I'll try not to sing at the key. I'm gonna get by with the help of my friend. Cause I wanna get high with the help of my friend. Cause I'm gonna try with the help of my friend. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry it to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? Cause I'm gonna get by with the help of my friend. Cause I wanna get high with the help of my friend. I'm gonna try with the help of my friends. Do you need a sympathy? I need somebody to love. Could it be a sympathy? I want somebody to love. Would you believe in a love at first sight? Yes, I'm certain that it happens all the time. What do you see when you turn on the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. Cause I'm gonna get by with the help of my friend. Cause I wanna get high with the help of my friend. I'm gonna try with the help of my friend. Do you need a sympathy? I need somebody to love. Could it be a sympathy? I want somebody to love. What would you do if I sing at the zoo? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your wheels and I'll sing you a song. And I try not to sing at the key.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
As action news continues, it's round the clock coverage.